I want to welcome you to Steadfast Hope. I'm joined by Kent Steinbeck. As always, I'm Steve Lawson, coming to you from Herb's House, Dallas, Texas. We've got a great study in store. We're looking at the Great Commission, really, and how this intertwines with our life, affects really us moving forward in the will of God. And we're in Matthew 28, verse 18. The title of this is All Nations. So I want to begin by reading verse 19. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." The scope of this Great Commission, Kent, is extraordinary. I mean, we are to go into all the world, and every person that we encounter is a candidate for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, Kent, you're in sales and you're always looking for people in real estate, but not everyone really is a prospective buyer. But with the gospel, everyone on planet Earth, if you're breathing, you are a prospective candidate for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are to take the gospel to them. This verse begins, "Go, therefore." That is to say, we're not to sit back and wait for the world to come to us. We are to be always advancing into the world. And we are to be taking the gospel to the world. We're to be going into the highways and into the byways of this world and sharing Christ, whether it's one-on-one, whether it's a small group, whether it's a larger crowd. Nevertheless, we are to, as someone has well said, we're to put the go back in the gospel. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples." To make a disciple is to make a true believer in Jesus Christ. A disciple is not to be understood as some second tier, higher level believer that after a few years you attain to discipleship status. You know, that's really poor teaching. A disciple in the early church was just simply a believer in Jesus Christ, someone who had repented of their sins and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he says we're to make disciples, I think this also underscores how aggressive we are to be in winning people to faith in Christ. We're not to be passive. We're to be very active and to make disciples. Now, we know only the Holy Spirit can make a disciple, but the Spirit works through means, and he loves to work through his people who take the initiative to reach out to those around them who are without Christ. Then he says of all nations, and that speaks to the exclusivity of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that no matter what nation a person lives in, you need Jesus Christ. Whatever religion you might be a part of, it's a false religion that leads to destruction. There's only one path that leads to heaven, and that is the path of Jesus Christ. It's been well said, there are many roads that lead to hell, but only one road that leads to heaven, and that is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he says, baptizing them, which says once someone commits their life to Christ, they are to be identified or marked as a believer in Christ. In the first church, and as it should be today, everyone who has come to faith in Jesus Christ should be marked as a disciple in the waters of baptism. And I love how this says, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. All three persons of the Trinity are mentioned here because all three persons act as a Savior. The Father is a Savior. He chose his elect in eternity past. He's the architect of the gospel. He sent his Son into this world. Jesus Christ is a Savior in that he lived a sinless and perfect life in our place, and he died upon the cross bearing our sins in our place. And the Holy Spirit is a Savior in that he is the one who convicts of sin, calls the elect, regenerates them, grants repentance and faith, and seals them in Christ. All three persons of the Trinity work together as one Savior. That is why Jesus says, when you baptize, baptize in the name not just of Jesus Christ, but of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So we are to be Trinitarian, even in our understanding of salvation. So, Kent, the main thing that we should take from this is how we must be taking the gospel to the streets, how we must be taking the gospel to people and looking for opportunities that are all around us to build bridges to people and to carry the gospel to them as the only message of salvation for the forgiveness of their sins. So, Kent, let's talk about this. How do we put this into practice?
We need about an hour, Steve. We got a few minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Can we expand this one for an hour?
Well, we could.
Just a lot in this verse.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Steve, I know you, and I would say one of your gifts is evangelism. I mean, it's just natural for you to be an evangelist.
Yeah.
There are others that it's hard. It's difficult to go out and speak and drum up a conversation. It's nerve-wracking. And so my first question is, nobody's exempt here, but my first question is, what about this? Well, I'm just going to let them see it in my life. I'm going to let them watch me and see it in my life.
Yeah.
How do you answer that?
Well, then they would just go to hell thinking you're a good person.
Okay.
Yeah, that's of no benefit to them.
Okay.
No. When we read the book of Acts, Kent, and we all need this, I'm first on the list. Whenever someone was filled with the Holy Spirit, they became bold with the gospel.
That's
even under suffering.
Wow.
And so that says to me, I need to be moment by moment in the grip of the governing power of the Holy Spirit.
That's really good.
And my flesh would be easily intimidated. And even my temperament is somewhat of an introvert. It is the Holy Spirit who gets us out of our comfort zone. Mm-hmm. It is the Holy Spirit who puts us out there and gives us a heart for people to want to really express the kindest thing we could ever do for them.
Sure.
Which is to share the message of salvation. So I think it really goes back to the power of the Holy Spirit in the believer, in us, to put us out there on the front line, to initiate conversation. And we are to be an example of the message that we bring, but that doesn't go far enough. We've got to actually bring the message itself
really
to people.
Good. That's really good.
Yeah.
So, and again, you've said this before, but to walk in the Spirit is to be in the Word.
Oh, yes.
We just can't. If we're not in the Word, we don't have the fuel. Is that what you're...
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Word of God, using another analogy, is the health food that gives us the vitality to be able to live the Christian life. And what we're talking about here in witnessing is an essential part of the Christian life. And Colossians 3, verse 16 says, "Let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you." It's the parallel verse for Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. So, Kent, what you've just brought up about being in the Word is really how we are filled with the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wherever the Word of God is, there the Spirit of God is at work in that life as we're yielded to the Lordship of Christ. So we can't be in the Word too much.
So, Steve, back to the giftedness of some people are more gifted in this area or not.
Yeah.
Can you that doesn't eliminate anybody. Is that correct?
No. I mean, for example, let's take the gift of giving.
Sure.
Some people just give with great liberality of their possessions to others.
Yeah.
Others have a different gift, but that doesn't relieve them from responsibility.
That's good.
Can't go up to people and say,
That's
be warmed and be filled.
That's great.
I mean, you've got to dig down deep inside of your resources and give to meet needs, even if you don't have the gift of giving. And so it's the same way with evangelism.
That's great.
And really, Kent, the greatest joy is being able to lead someone to faith in Christ. I think the greatest joy is to know Christ.
Sure.
The second greatest joy is to be used by God to lead someone to faith in
Christ. That's great,
Steve. And I never forget those people that God's let me be just a fly on the wall.
That's awesome.
And to see them come into the kingdom. And Kent, I know you feel the same way as well. I mean, you and I get excited when we hear about testimonies of people who have come to faith in Christ, whether through our ministries that we're a part of or through someone else's ministries. I know when I was a pastor, just to see one person come to faith in Christ, I'm good for the year.
Yeah.
I mean, you can bring whatever resistance, whatever problems to me. If I could just see someone come to faith in Christ, I've got so much octane in my tank, I'm being propelled down the highway of God's will. So may God use you to reach out to people with the gospel. He can use each and every one of us. Be like Andrew, who brought his brother Simon to Christ. Be an Andrew, and you will know the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you as you reach out in the name of Christ.